This is the Peace Building with Dr. Pollock Show. You too can be a caller on our show to get free coaching and advice on a workplace conflict you're experiencing. Email us at podcast@pollockpeacebuilding.com. Now let's take a caller. Stephen, welcome to the show. How can I help you?
Hi. I appreciate you taking my call.
Sure.
Basically, so this situation was at a past job a couple of years ago, but I think about it a lot. It was at a mid-sized company, and you had pretty much three tiers where you had the C-suite, middle managers where I was, and then your frontline workers. And essentially, you had the C-suite getting involved in a lot of what the frontline workers were doing, kind of micromanaging and usurping that middle level. And they'd just be kind of vague and asking for the products they wanted. And then they would chew out the employees when they ultimately could not deliver what the C-suite wanted. And then, you know, I'm kind of in the middle trying to wrangle cats and keep my guys happy. And, you know, it's just hard to do when they don't really feel like they have direction or know what they can do to please the upper level bosses. And I guess I was just wondering how you would approach that either as a manager or as one of those kind of frontline workers.
So a lot of times what happens with people trying to micromanage others, you know, that's obviously an issue about trust. They don't trust that someone is going to be able to do or what they're supposed to do or live up to the expectations or something like that. And so the first thing always is, are expectations clearly set, like, and as specifically as possible? So in that case, were there clear, specific expectations or performance indicators that were set?
In this case, usually no. The best case we would have is we might get a list of, like, say, five things. Like, we want to do this, this, and this. And we would try to hit those, and then we would come back, and they would have changed their mind by the time we produced that content. This was within content creation. So, yeah, like, maybe a couple would be the same, but just moving goalposts, and it just became a situation where we couldn't really hit what we needed to hit.
Because they were always changing the goalposts.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's a tough position to be in. And if it doesn't change, it really can affect morale. It can really affect people's, like, willingness to just stay at the same job because they need to feel like they're doing something right. If they're never able to feel like they're doing something right, they're going to really – there's probably going to be a lot of turnover and lack of motivation to stay there.
Yeah, and that was actually exactly the problem. And as a middle manager, I'm just trying to make sure that – they're happy, and yeah, I just didn't really know at that time the best way to do that. You know, I felt kind of powerless in that situation.
So I would say that if you ever experience micromanagement again, probably one of the first things to do would be to sit down with the people or the person who is the micromanager and just understand what their concerns are relating to trust. And it could sound something like, you know, I notice that you want a lot of oversight over what Jonathan is doing at work, and it seems to be maybe that you don't trust that he's going to be able to live up to expectations or be able to do the job very well. So I just wanted to ask you, like, what are some of your concerns about Jonathan's performance? What are some of the things that you're looking for from him that you feel like you might not get, so that we can address that? So I would just get straight to the issue about what they don't trust. Do you think that, I mean, I know that's probably, who knows whether that would be available to that last place you worked, but in the future, do you think that's a conversation you'd be willing to have if you see this kind of behavior again?
Yeah, I think trust that's probably part of it. And I think it could have been too. So this C-suite, they had their own creative vision a lot of the time. And So I don't know if it's necessarily the trust or just that they want it done how they want it done, and they don't always know what that is.
Yeah. So I don't know what I'm going to like until I see it, kind of thing, right? Mm-hmm. And so there's just going to be a lot of back, right? Yeah, you know, unfortunately, there's a little bit of, like, to me that seems like a trust issue, because someone is basically saying, I only trust my own creative vision. I don't trust anyone else's. So regardless of whatever, so if you came to someone with some product, some output, and they said, this isn't what I like. This isn't what I wanted. I can't really tell you what I want, but it's not this. They're just basically trusting themselves. They're not trusting anybody else's creative eye or anything like that. If that's the situation and that continues, it's a very tough situation to fix. There's not a whole lot you can do to fix a manager who behaves like that. And so then that becomes a question of, you know, if they're not willing to take feedback as a leader, if they're not willing to trust the people that they hire to do the job or to do the work, they can't trust them. They just have to keep managing and micromanaging and monitoring everything people do. Then you kind of have to ask yourself, like, is this the place that I want to work? Is this the right place for me? You know?
Mm-hmm. And is that something that you would have a conversation with the people who are under you, if you're the middle manager?
I certainly would. If I noticed that behavior over and over, and I tried to have a conversation with the senior leadership, and I said to them, mm-hmm. here's what's going on. People feel micromanaged. People feel like you have maybe like too much oversight. It's very frustrating. Tell me about some of your concerns. Tell me about some of the problems you have with trusting people that people actually get their job done. If they can't answer those, or if they answer those, but it's not sufficient and they keep doing the behavior over and over, I probably would come to my employees at some point as their team leader and say, you know, this is the situation. These are the restraints in this particular workplace. This is the way it's probably going to be for a long time or forever. So are you okay being in this environment? I don't want to lose you. I value you, but you have to decide for yourself, is this the right environment for you, knowing that this is the kind of situation that we're in. So it's always important to figure out, can I change the situation? Can I give feedback to leadership? Can we change the culture in some way? If that doesn't work, or if that's not available, then it's up to you to decide, is this the right place for me? And if so, can I wake up in the morning and say to myself, I choose to be here in this situation because the benefits of being here outweigh the costs of being here. And until that point where the benefits don't outweigh the costs, like I'm willing to stay. And if the costs start to get too high, if I start to feel like I'm just not getting enough benefit here, I could get benefits somewhere else and not have to pay these costs, then maybe I'll move. Then maybe I'll look for a job somewhere else. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I think that's good advice because it was something that I know I thought about, and I know a lot of the people under me thought about, is like, hey, at this company, because it's mid-sized, I might be able to get more responsibility and take on these tasks I normally would not have, say, the years of experience to do. But then the other side of that is, okay, well, I have this boss who may not trust me, who, you know, isn't very clear and is open to, you know, chewing people out and may bring me down as far as my morale. So yeah, I think the opportunity cost, that is a great way to look at it.
Yeah. I mean, you have to be in those types of situations, you have to be very clear about what your values are and how you prioritize them. Like, is the money and the work and the creativity and my team is all that, where does that stack up in terms of how satisfied I am at work? And then micromanaging, yelling at people, all that, where does that stack up? Like, and how do I weigh those two things? What's worth it? Could I go somewhere else, get the same benefits without the cost? Am I not sure about that? Like, so weighing those decisions and then making a very deliberate choice, because that essentially what you're trying to do is you're trying to put yourself back into the driver's seat, back into a place where you recognize what you can control. We can't control the culture. They won't listen to feedback. I've tried to give them feedback. I've tried to ask them, you know, what they don't trust. Nothing's changing. Okay, I can't control that. What can I control? I can control the fact that I'm actually getting up and coming to work every day. I can control how I interact with my team, and I can be the kind of leader that I would like to have that we don't have, but I can be that kind of leader for my team. You know, so what kinds of things can you control? And then determining, like, you know, is it worth it to stay in that position, like with the things that you can control, with the things that you do benefit from?
I wish I would have thought about it that way at the time. That's very helpful.
Yeah. Yeah, I know it's not an easy situation. So are you currently working somewhere else, or are you going somewhere else now in the future?
So I moved on, and most of the team had moved on, and for a lot of the reasons that we were talking about.
Okay. Good. So you're just monitoring now to see if that happens again anywhere, and if it does, maybe you'll have some tools to address it now.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, and that was pretty much my first experience in that sort of role. And so I was trying to grow in that position and learn. And I kind of picked up on some of what you're saying, but it wasn't really a clear, cohesive thought yet. And yeah, you're definitely bringing some clarity to it and kind of confirming just me looking back on it, some of the things I wish I would have done differently.
Yeah. Well, glad to help. I'll just as a quick recap. So if you ever come across that again, where you feel like you're being micromanaged, number one, try to give some feedback to the people micromanaging. Try to ask them what their concerns are, what they don't trust about performance, et cetera, and see if you can meet those concerns and ask them for a little bit more autonomy, just for like maybe even the next 30 days, give us a little more autonomy, see if we can produce the kind of results you want without the constant oversight. You know, see if that works. If it doesn't work, if nothing changes, then it's into, you know, putting yourself in the driver's seat. What can you control? What are the benefits versus the costs, and determining whether this is the right place for you to work. And if it is, really feeling good about the choice that you're waking up in the morning, going to work, because the benefits outweigh the costs very clearly.
Yeah, I think that's what it comes down to. Can you live with it?
Yeah, can you live with it? Yeah, good, exactly. Well,
cool. Yeah, that's very helpful. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Stephen. I appreciate you coming on.
Okay, have a great day.
You too. Hey, thanks for tuning into the Peace Building with Dr. Pollack show. Don't forget to subscribe to my channel for more workplace conflict advice. Share on social media if you think your friends and colleagues would benefit from this episode. And if you have a workplace conflict and want to be a caller on our show for free coaching and advice, please email podcast@pollackpeacebuilding.com. Thanks.